Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Saga Communications first quarter earnings conference call. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode. It is now my pleasure to turn the floor over to your host, Ed Christian. Sir, the floor is yours.
Oh, well, thank you, Matthew. I appreciate it. And good afternoon, everybody, and I thank you all for joining us here for a little merriment, we hope, coming up. And I was talking to Sam just a few minutes ago before we started talking, and I said, we really have to spice this up. And then it occurred to me that about a year ago or so, we talked to the agent for, Sam, help me with it, Johnny Gilbert, who was the announcer on Jeopardy. And I wanted to see if we could get him to do some work for us and a voice work for us. And I thought maybe if I could hire Johnny Gilbert to do the intro here, which sounded a lot better than me trying to do it for Sam, you know, and with his dulcet tones at age 92, still doing the show there. Anyway, to get going again, thank you. I'll be back in a few minutes after Sam runs through some his litany of numbers and information. So with all that said, here is Sam.
Thank you, Ed. This call will contain forward-looking statements about our future performance and results of operations that involve risks and uncertainties that are described in the risk factors section of our most recent Form 10-K. This call will also contain a discussion of certain non-GAAP financial measures. Reconciliation for all the non-GAAP financial measures to the most directly comparable GAAP measure are attached in the selected financial data tables. For the quarter ended March 31, 2022, net revenue increased 12% to $25 million compared to $22.3 million last year. Political didn't factor much in the comparison of revenue, as gross political revenue for the first quarter of 2022 was $121,000 compared to $209,000 in the first quarter of last year. We are expecting political to pick up significantly as we continue through the year, particularly in the third and fourth quarters. Station operating expense increased 8.7% to $20.6 million for the three-month period. Station operating income increased 17.8% to $5.6 million, while operating income was $1.7 million compared to $883,000 for the same period last year. Free cash flow was $1.9 million for the quarter compared to $1.8 million for the same period in 2021. Net income for the first quarter 2022 was $1.2 million, or 20 cents per fully diluted share. Second quarter of 2022 is currently pacing ahead of the same period last year by approximately 6%, although with the ongoing global turmoil, everything is week by week and month by month. Local direct continues to be strong at $12.4 million in the first quarter of 2022, again representing approximately 50% of our total net revenue for the quarter. We also saw nice increases in digital revenue and our non-traditional revenue during the quarter. It's nice to see non-traditional revenue, normally referred to as NTR, growth as our markets are beginning to move forward again with a lot of local events that we have traditionally been involved with. Our balance sheet shows $55.2 million in cash on hand as of March 31, 2022. Currently, we have $52.1 million of cash on hand. With the combined quarterly dividend of 16 cents per share and the 50 cents per share special dividend that was paid on January 14, 2022, and the 16 cents per share quarterly dividend paid on April 8th, Saga has paid over $78 million in dividends since the initial dividend was paid in 2012. We'll have another question in a little bit, but while I'm talking about cash, we did get a question about April's cash usage related to the $55 million we had at the end of March and the $52 million as of this week. Approximately $1.6 million was a quarterly tax payment. Nothing exciting about that, but it has to be done. The exciting part is approximately $1 million went to buy a building in Norfolk, Virginia, which will allow us to move out of our current studio site, which we've leased for the past 25-plus years. This was a tremendous opportunity as the seller was already operating the site as radio studios. We will have some work to do to update the facilities once we take possession, but once we are able to move, we will significantly reduce our operating costs in the market. This will actually allow us to be done with the largest lease we have ever had for a piece of property as a company. Capital expenditures in the first quarter of 2022 were $923,000 compared to $534,000 for the quarter ended March 31, 2021. The company expects to spend a bit more on capital items in 2022 as we reduced our capital spending in 2020 and 2021 due to the uncertainty associated with the COVID-19 pandemic and resulting supply chain disruption. Currently, we expect to spend approximately $5.5 to $6 million for capital expenditures during 2022. This does include a couple of building projects, one of which I just talked about. Others we'll talk about as they come to fruition. We currently expect that our station operating expense will increase by approximately 5 to 7%, which includes additional sales commissions based on our revenue growth, as well as our increases in our cost of sales surveys and healthcare. Our ongoing tax rate is expected to be 29 to 30% with a deferred tax of 5 to 10%. And with that, Ed, I will turn it back over to you.
Thank you, Sam. I should mention one thing here. And when you talk about the building that we have acquired and will be moving into within the next 6 months to a year, somewhere in there by the time we have to do the remodeling, that with Saga, we have a kind of a policy where we own all of our own structures, with the exception it had been up to. So this would be down to one that we, and only one other that we do lease, and that is scheduled to be put into a new building, and that's in the Hilton Head, well, actually in Bluffton. So by this time next year, we'll have just one very small, one of our very smallest markets as a lease building. But other than that, we believe in owning all of our own locations, so that it's a nice depreciation and a good thing for us to have, to be able to create and challenge and configure the building the way that we want it to be. It's, and Sam and I were sitting around and talking about, what can we say that was new and exciting without continuing doing the same roped presentation every time that we speak. And I think it's something, when I look back right now where we've been in the first quarter, a lot of people would say it was difficult. We like to think of it as challenging, because our whole idea and everything that we try to do here at Saga is find different ways to stay within the pattern of what good broadcasting is all about. At the same time, come up with something that's new and interesting and innovative while we continue on with the old basic mold of commercial broadcasting. It is a challenge right now, but it's a good challenge because it really is good for us to stimulate in our own brain cells what we can do to enhance the properties we have. What can we do to have this tactile impression with our audience where we can reach out and touch them? I think I mentioned the last time we talked that the whole plan of Saga since its beginning was to really reach into middle markets where we felt we could make a difference, where we could go in and take a commanding lead position in the marketplace, and also have it so that the market wasn't too big to be indifferent to radio and too small that we couldn't, make a good return on our investment in the marketplace. And we've really come a long way in terms of developing that. And if you go back to the beginning of Saga, when we started the company with just a couple of larger stations and larger markets, well, actually we had three to begin with. And if you put in the licenses for our metro signals or our small translators, we have 165, 170 radio licenses in the company right now.
We have 113 AM and FMs and 80 translators, metro signals, so almost 200.
I keep forgetting on how many there are because I'm kind of this addict on buying translators, and Sam will always tell me that when I come back in. But they've been proven very, very effective for us because they allow us to have what we call them the stackables, where we use the metro signals as an add-on and in addition to it. And I remember early on in my career when one of the managers, sales manager, was talking about successful shoe salesmen, and they would always say afterwards, do you want some socks to go with your shoes and the add-on? And that's kind of how we treat the secondary stations we have, is packaging them in to add additional money and additional revenue. I think I mentioned the last time that we've also increased our rates within the last month or so. We had a big discussion and with all of our managers and the buy-in and sat down and redesigned exactly where they were in terms of what their selling rate was and how it was configured. And we added about a 10% increase in our rates, which we believe is about time, because when we looked around and we saw the increases that we're having to deal with in terms of music costs, insurance costs, related costs like that, we needed to do so. So in an industry where the rates seem to be going down, our rates are increasing, which we find is an interesting approach on the thing. Additional thing that I think brings us into kind of a little bit different world is that we really do spend a lot of time with the various communities. We're in the process, I think I mentioned the last time, of hiring news people, which is an interesting thing. And the fact that the sector of the business of having dedicated news reporters for radio has been decreasing. And yet we find it a necessity to find and bring into the business. And then it's the trouble recruiting right now. For instance, in this last go-round, pardon me, I have some allergies right now, so I sound a little hoarse on that. But in this last go-round, we had about 24 resumes come in for when we started recruiting for news people. And it was interesting to find out that in the remote world today, that of those 24, about two-thirds of them were people who said, yeah, I can be a news reporter for you. I can do this, but I want to do it from my home. I'm in San Bernardino, and you're in Des Moines, Iowa, but I can still do a newscast. Well, you can't, because we're not looking for that. We're looking for the type of person who gets involved in the community, who becomes active in the community, gets to know everybody from the mayor to the fire chief or any of that who can provide information for us. And that's what we need in those communities, and we're doing that. And I think that's an important thing for us to gain, a certain level of professionalism and recognition in the community. In a tired world, which is what I think we're in right now, we have to do things that are really important to what happens in the communities. We have to have, fun radio stations. We have to have radio stations that have full coverage of what's going on in the community, and that's what we will continue on doing. It's been a challenging world. In sales, we're having a lot of fun developing new products, and we talked about that. I was just sitting with one yesterday about looking at an order that came in on a company that we're going to at least have a 26-week schedule from, selling the invisible fencing for dogs in your yard. Now, who would have several years ago thought of that as a product category? But nevertheless, if you go out and you find somebody like this and you say, look, there's a lot of dogs in town, we might as well try and do this. And it's a different way for them to reach out and touch. That's just one example. And I don't want to keep going through, and what you think that all we do is chase silly ideas, but we don't. We're looking for the different ways to find and seek out money and add it to us instead of looking at the major national agencies, which are cutting back in terms of their the rates that they're willing to pay for radio and also the product money that goes into it. We want to be inventive. We want to be challenging. We want to always be forward momentum on what we do. And we try not to burden you with a lot of numbers or a lot of information because we're talking then about the whole of the company rather than the individual marketplace. And we don't want to get into that either. That's why we offer you the opportunity to call Sam or to call me and ask any questions you might have about what we're doing in the business to make this more effective. Yes, it is a challenging time. But as I said, for us, we kind of welcome that because it keeps your brain cells going and keeps you thinking. And we're working on some really kind of creative, inventive ideas. I think if I told you one of the ones we're doing that we have planned to launch in about a week from now, you'd probably just really kind of wonder about my sanity on it. Shall I tell them?
Go ahead.
Okay. And it occurred to me several weeks ago that one of the big problems, I was reading an article, and one of the big problems that it talked about is that more and more Americans are having problems going to sleep at night, falling asleep. And it goes through talking about this and what it's doing to the person's health, well-being, and everything else like that by being restless at night. So one of the things that has happened to radio today is that we have lost a lot of listening in the overnight areas. Overnight radio used to be a relatively big thing. Right now there are a couple of major shows that are syndicated for overnight that are talk shows that are good, but in terms of the music area and music formats for overnight, a lot of it has now been automated and produced right off the machines and with nobody in the facility to speak of, or nobody at all in the facility. So I came up with an idea of, well, okay, so why don't we do something that's totally different, totally unique to radio itself, commercial over-the-air radio. And so we've been working on perfecting the idea that we're doing, and we're taking as a prototype actually our station in Bluffton, Hilton Head. And one of the stations there, we have four radio stations in the market. One of them, WOEZ, Easy Favorites, we've had on the air for several years now, and it's doing quite well for us. But we decided that there really isn't an overnight listening audience to it, and so we're going to be running, I guess we call it deep sleep music overnight, but it's not music, it's sounds. And so from, you're going to think I'm probably a little nutty here, but that's okay. 11 o'clock or midnight until 5 in the morning will be just the sounds of rain and thunder in the background to provide a sleep audience. And you're going, well, why do you make any sense out of that? Well, we'll be selling very short spots, and they'll be brought to you by spots to like mattress stores, that type of product category, with only two mentions an hour during from 11 till 5 or midnight till 5. We haven't actually come out with the hours that we're going to do it. But again, let's try and take, from Lemons, which is kind of the overnight hours, and turn them into lemonade, and at least monetize that and sell them in 26 or 52-week schedules on the station, and break it into two breaks an hour, which is what we're doing. So it won't be commercialized, as it will be basically, that would be defeating the idea of trying to put people to sleep. But there will be mentions all the time like that. And that's a product that we can do, and it's something that we can do for revenue producing and have money coming in on the overnight thing, at the same time providing a service to a lot of listeners. So we'll see what happens on that. I'm going to try not to ramble on today on this, but I think that that's what radio needs, is some different thinking, a different way of looking at the problems. And if we strike out, we strike out on something, and we invent something else and have to have the forward momentum. We have a question coming up, and I'll get back to that when we do, but the question is, where do we envision radio in 10 years? And we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. And in the meantime, let me just toss this back to Sam to see if he has any other comments or anything, any other questions we've had.
No, we had a couple questions. One of them I already took care of. Another one asked us about uploading audio recordings of the conference calls. We did start doing that with the fourth quarter call. So in addition to this transcript, which gets posted to our website, you can also find audio recordings of the calls now on the website as soon as we get them processed and back to us. And then, as Ed said, there was a question about 10 years from now, do you expect more or less radio listeners in your markets? And what's the grand plan for radio?
You know, and that really depends upon the passion of the broadcasters, the passion of the commercial owners that are in there today. If they want to, you know, keep the medium alive, we can certainly do that. And if they want to continue, they, I'm speaking, that's probably not, that's out of line, but if a broadcaster today wants to continue survival for the commercial radio, then they have to begin to think exactly, rather than in cutting and reducing staff and reducing everything that they do and trying to commercialize it and have it centralized. I think it we will have a shorter life than normal, the normal 10 years, well, not normal 10 years, but the 10 years that question came in on. But if you sat there and you decided that you were going to have a radio station that really was what radio has been in the past and can continue to be in the future with inventive ideas, then we do have a strong position, as long as we don't forget that we have listeners out there who want local information. And, but let's face it, a good radio signal gets out 40 miles. And that's the area that you have to look at. That's the area that you have to protect. And those are the people that you have to protect. And if we do that, then we have a life. We will still be important. We'll still be meaningful to the communities that we serve. If we get away from that and try to make it, and that radio is one big program for the entire U.S. that's syndicated or it's put together in modular form or whatever, it's going to be shortened. But if the passion is still there, if the desire is still there to be good broadcasters, and the heat is still there to you know, warm the homes of people who are listening to radio because of the value that it has, we're fine. You know, I can't go out, you know, more than 10 years on it, but I'm certainly planning a time that will be around. And that is because we have inventive ideas, and we have the people behind us. And we've got a great, great group of radio stations, and a great group of people who, you know, work there to help us, you know, keep on thinking of new ideas for the project. But again, it's an idea. It's a commitment of passion. It's a commitment of dedication. It's not a commitment of looking at this as a commercial adventure. That we don't, you know, our product is invisible, and we have to remember that. And we're not having something coming off an assembly line. It's an entirely different thing, and it's no different than anything in the arts. And I consider radio an art, just as you would a Broadway play or a symphony or anything else like that. We have that ability, and we have to remember that, and that has to be our primary focus. And if we don't do that, then we're going to lose the momentum that we have. We're going to miss the passion that is there, and it's going to be a shorter life. But in the meantime, we look for a long life with Saga, because we'll never lose the values that we've had and established for so many years. I think that kind of wraps up.
Yeah, that's very good. I mean, it's all about, our radio is all about local, and that's what Saga does best.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah.
We continue. That's the mantra that we have on that is doing the radio that reaches out and touches the people. And you know, just this morning I was listening to one of our stations, the River WRSI in Northampton, and Monty, our morning person on the station morning show. It does a really unique morning show, and is great, and reaches out and has a lot of phones and a lot of listeners calling in and talking about various things. And with Monty, you never know where he's going to go or what he's going to come up with in terms of it. And that's unusual, and it's unique, and it's great for the communities when they feel this cohesiveness that comes from, you know, the morning shows that we try to bring out. And that's just one example of a show. And I could go through and start talking about our morning shows and our personalities and how they relate to the communities that they're in. And that's the thing that really has to be just so, so important in what we do in this business, and caring for, and caring, really caring for the community is what, where I think we're come out ahead. I've been kind of just prattling along here, and is there other things that I'm missing, Sam?
I think that's good, and I think, Matthew, we can turn it back over to you to wrap up the call.
Certainly. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's event. You may disconnect at this time and have a wonderful day. Thank you for your participation.